All right, well, I'm going to leave you with Simon, who's going to speak to us today from Jeremiah chapter 44.
Can I extend another happy Father's Day to everyone? It's an exciting day. Sadly, I didn't get breakfast made for me. I had to make breakfast for my son, which I feel like was a bit the wrong way around. But it's a real joy getting to be a dad. One of the favorite things I get to do is I go to the zoo with Theo a lot. I've got a year pass, so I get to go in. I go in the afternoons, I take him, we look at the rhinos, look at the giraffes. Theo's favourite animal by far, though, has got to be the lions. He loves the lions. You can tell him he's going in for a kiss here, you can tell. Every time we see this statue, he just wants to give it a big smooch on the lips. You ask him, what does a lion say? He'll roar at you as loud as he can after the service. You want to give it a go. But as amazing as he thinks the lions are, and as cool as I think the rhinos are as I go, I actually really struggle when I see him do this to imagine that people actually around the world worship idols. That people actually spend their time and energy worshiping statues of wood and metal. They actually do this. And maybe it's my Western upbringing and sensibilities, but sometimes I really struggle to get my head around it. You know, it's interesting, out of all the things in the Bible that get condemned, time and time again, what's the thing that comes up repeatedly? It's idol worship. What's the thing that Israel and Judah keep getting caught up in? Idol worship. And I just scratch my head and think, really? That's the thing? If there's one thing you're going to get caught up on, it's worshiping the creation instead of the creator? But I don't think I'm happy just saying it is a cultural Western thing, though. I just found out recently, Jim and I both share a love for the musical stylings of Tay-Tay Swift. I found out recently, her new Eras concert has just crossed $2 billion in international revenue, far outseating anyone who's ever gone before her. Seems like at this point in human history, we can't stop giving our money, our time, our worship to the creation. And here in this chapter 44 of Jeremiah, we see Jeremiah's final plea to Judah to stop this practice. And it actually helps us understand why people do this. All right, we're going to see three things in this passage, three things we're going to look through. If you want to follow along, we're going to look at how do you avoid worshiping idols. Then we're going to look at the consequences of worshipping idols. And then we're going to answer that big question, why do people do this? Why is it so prevalent? Why does God have to keep telling people to stop? Now, Jeremiah's life as a prophet spanned over many kings, as you've been looking at. But I don't think anyone did a better job describing Jeremiah for me than one of the writers of Theo's children's Bibles. I love this. It says, "But Israel was too busy disobeying God's commands and ignoring God's warnings, so God sent miraculous prophets like Elijah and Elisha. He sent rebuking prophets like Amos and Malachi. And he sent sad prophets like Jeremiah." Jeremiah's a sad prophet, isn't he? He's just faced opposition and persecution, perhaps unlike any other prophet up until Jesus, right? He's ignored and rejected his entire time, multiple plots to kill him, placed in stocks by priests, last week cast into a well until he starves to death, and now he's just watched his people, God's people, be overrun, the temple burned down and destroyed, and only a small remnant left remaining. Jeremiah is a sad prophet, and Judah haven't listened to his words, and now they're seeing the consequences of their actions. I think we're at the low point. This is the lowest point, I think, of Judah's history right now. And what do they decide to do? Well, they ignore God again. Instead of staying in Judah, they decide, hey, let's go to Egypt, which, if you know anything about the Israelite history, maybe not the place you want to go. Let's go back to the place we were slaves at, and let's take Jeremiah hostage as well, because he's not sad enough. And after they've escaped, after they've seen the consequences of all they've done, what do? Idol worship. They're back at it again. They turn back to idol worship. So Jeremiah has one last word from God. Keep the passage open if you've got it in front of you. We're going to read from verse 2. Read from verse 2. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. You have all seen the disaster I brought against Jerusalem and all Judah cities. They're in ruin today without an inhabitant in them because of the evil that they committed to anger me by going and burning incense to serve other gods that they, you, and your ancestors did not know. So I sent all my servants, the prophets, time and time again, saying, don't commit this detestable action that I hate. But they did not listen or pay attention. They did not turn from their evil or stop burning incense to other gods. So my fierce wrath poured out and burned in Judah's cities and Jerusalem's streets, so they became the desolate ruin they are today. Do you want to know how to avoid worshipping idols? Here's the advice we get in verse 5. Listen and pay attention. See, the first issue that Judah had was idolatry, but the second issue, well, it didn't help them either. They didn't listen. They couldn't pay attention. And the treatment that Jeremiah experienced is only one example. I've heard the story of someone who went out for an outback trip. It wasn't just like a nice little hike. This is kind of like a Michael Wallace style like outback trip, like far away from civilization, all right, far away from a hospital. And so the guy that was with him wanted to make sure he was ready. So he said to him, look, what are you going to do if you find any snacks on the floor? And he said, oh, if I see a snack as I'm walking around, I'm just probably just going to pick it up, just eat it. The tour guide was horrified. He didn't realize that the tour guide actually said, what are you going to do if you see snakes on the floor? And had this horrifying image of him picking up snakes, wrestling them to the ground and trying to eat them to survive. See, if you don't listen and you're not paying attention, you get in dangerous situations. You can misunderstand what's actually going on. And Israel haven't listened and paid attention. Well, the message for Judah was clear, Don't turn to idols, but can I say the message for us is even clearer? The message that Jesus has brought in, has told us all that we read in God's word, that's true in all human history, past, present, and future. Here's the message to listen to and pay attention to. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. We've all heard it now, but have you listened to it? Have you actually paid attention to it? Because if that's true, if you really believe that Jesus is Lord, then there's no room for anything else. No room for anything else to be number one. And we need to keep reminding each other of this. Keep telling each other this so we don't stop listening and we don't stop paying attention. Jesus is Lord of all. Because if we forget that, that's when idol worship creeps in. Now, the second way that we can avoid worshipping idols is by not forgetting, remembering. But forgetting is what the Judeans do. They forget. Look at verse 9 with me. They forget. Have you forgotten the evils of your ancestors? The evils of Judah's kings? The evils of their wives? Your own evils? And the evils of your wives that were committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Now, actually, the vast majority of Jeremiah's final word to Judah is actually telling them to look back, telling them to remember, learn from your mistakes. David Lloyd Jones was the British Prime Minister during the First World War. He saw the UK through. And he shared his famous last message at the end of the war. He said, at 11 o'clock this morning came an end to the cruelest and most terrible war that has ever scourged mankind. I hope that we may say thus, this fateful morning came an end to all wars. Sadly, it was not the end to all wars. The Great War soon became the First World War. So forgetting the past means you don't learn from it. And it's actually a bigger issue than just individually learning from mistakes. It's actually a generational issue. Don Carson says this, I think it's really helpful. He says, one generation believes something, the next assumes it, and the third will forget it. I think on Father's Day in particular, it's really important we think about what are we assuming that our children and young people know about Jesus being Lord. Have you told your children the gospel clearly? You just told them what the gospel is repeatedly? Have you asked the young people in this church, in this congregation, what they actually believe, actually heard from them? These are basic things, but we don't want to assume that they know it. It needs to be clear. It needs to be repeated. Jesus is Lord of all, and if you're not following him, Jeremiah's plea for Judah to stop idol worship is not without stakes. There's serious consequences as well. We're going to point two now. We'll think through the consequences of idol worship. Read verse 11 with me. Stand in verse 11. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'll set my face against you for harm, to cut off all Judah. I'll take the remnant of Judah who have set their faces to come to the land of Egypt to live, and they shall all be consumed. In the land of Egypt they shall fall, by the sword and by famine they shall be consumed. From the least to the greatest they shall die by the sword and by famine. They shall become an oath, a horror, a curse, and a taunt. Can you imagine God saying that to you? That's the message God has to you, to Norell and Anglican. From the least to the greatest, all will be consumed. It's terrifying. God will bring justice. He's going to stop the idol worship, just like he did in Jerusalem. It says in verse 13, he's still urging them not to forget the past. Well, what's wrong with idol worship? What's the issue here? Well, it's the same thing that it's been throughout the whole Bible. It's the same thing throughout all of Jeremiah as well. We heard about it starting in chapter 3, but it's been all throughout. He keeps connecting idol worship to prostitution, a married woman in particular prostituting herself. He says in chapter 3, verse 2, I'll just read it out for us. Look at the barren heights and see, where have you not been immoral? You've sat waiting for them beside highways like a nomad in the desert. You've defiled the land with your prostitution and wickedness. And the reason he uses this marriage imagery so much is because Judah has actually made a covenant with God. They've made a promise, a little bit like wedding vows to God. But their love for idols is just insatiable. They can't help but openly and frequently, using wicked practice, choose to worship other false gods. That's why he keeps likening it to adultery and prostitution. But what about us who haven't made a covenant promise with God? How's it a problem for us? Well, idol worship is choosing to exchange the glory that should be given to a creator and giving it to a created thing, to an image. Choosing the created over the creator. And if Jesus is Lord of all, if we claim that that's true, then how can other things be number one? And I think this is where it gets real for us, as we need to really think through this. Are there things in our lives that we are worshipping, giving our time and money to, that really should be going to the creator? Here are two in particular that I'm tempted with. Maybe you relate to them. I think the two that are really tempting for me are money and family. Both these things are good things, but they're so easy to make God things. They're so easy. I wonder if you really believe that God's more important than your aspirations for wealth and is more important than your family's safety and security. I wonder if you actually believe that. If someone looked at the actions of your life, they had 24-hour footage, they also had this cool device that reads your thoughts as well, they can see every part of your life, how would they rank your love of God, money, and family? These things are just so huge. It's so easy to build your whole life around it, right? The whole world's doing it. They can be the center. I think that's why these two are the ones that Jesus has to constantly remind people for, that you can only have one master, God or money. And the reminder that anyone who leaves brother or sister or mother or father or children because of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. The world is telling you to center your life around these two things, and it's so tempting. But that's just putting created things in front of the Creator. If Jesus is our King and our Savior, then He is the number one option. He needs to be number one in our lives. So how do we avoid it? How can Jeremiah help us figure out how to avoid idol worship? How to avoid putting creation over the Creator? Well, that's our final point. Let's think about how to avoid worshipping idols, or why people worship idols. Read with me from verse 16. Verse 16 with me in the passage. As for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. But we will do everything we vowed, make offerings to the Queen of Heaven, pour out drink offerings to her, as we did, both we and our fathers and our kings and officials in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food and prospered and saw no disaster. But since we left off making offerings to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out the drink offerings to her, we've lacked everything, and we've been consumed by sword and famine. See, why are humans so quick to turn to idols? Well, Judah gives us some insight here in their refusal to listen to Jeremiah. Two reasons. Firstly, false teaching, and secondly, false security. False teaching and false security. The first reason why people turn to idols is false teaching. What's the reason that people continue worshipping idols in verse 17? Well, it's because our dads did it. Our kings did it. Our officials did it. See, the practices of those in authority, the practices of those that we respect and listen to, inform us on what we do now. And it's really informed this remnant that's now left in Egypt as what's normal. What's the normal way to live? See, as much as there's a benefit when the next generation is taught correctly, here's a real warning of what happens when it goes wrong. It's disastrous if we teach the next generation the wrong thing. And why? What's this false teaching? It's teaching false security. Teaching false security. Look at verse 18 with me. Turn to verse 18. But since we left off making offerings to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we've lacked everything, and we've been consumed by the sword and by famine. See, the Judeans are making some sort of connection in their heads. They think, oh, when we were worshipping the idols, things were good, and when we stopped, it was bad. So if we just keep worshipping, then things will be good. If I just keep it up, things will be safe. People worship idols for a false sense of security, a sense of control. Have you noticed sword and famine coming up repeatedly? You just flick through the passage, you see it time and time again, sword and famine, sword and famine. Two of the largest issues in an ancient world. What if a big army comes, and what if we run out of food? Things that are completely out of your control, particularly for the everyday person. Unless you had an idol on your side. Baal, the false god of agriculture, could protect your family, protect you from famine, and grant you healthy crops if you worshipped him. And this false god, the Queen of Heaven, whether they're Ashtoreth or Ishtar or some other false god, now looking at the way they're worshipping it, it appears that they're promising fertility. More people, a larger nation. And Judah is clinging to these promises tight. If we worship them, then we might be okay. Maybe I have some control. Maybe we'll get the crops we need. Maybe we'll have children. At least I'm taking control in my hands. I can do something. Everything's going to be okay. It's the lie of the world. A desperate scramble for control, just clinging onto any security that they can scrounge. It's a very human response, but it's a foolish one. Because there's only one God who has power over famine and power over sword. And he's going to use those very things as punishment on Judah for the disobedience. God's final word to Judah through Jeremiah. Look at verse 27. Behold, I'm watching over them for disaster and not good. All of the men of Judah who are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end of them. It's a sad ending for sad Jeremiah's final warning. Judah refuses to listen and they turn to false security. It's a dangerous trap. But the issues of famines and invading armies don't really plague our mind, do they? No, it's comfort, it's power, it's respect, health. Well, those things certainly weigh on me. But can I tell you it's a lie? Pouring money into your mortgage will not bring you security. If your number one priority in life is a happy and healthy family, well, you're going to be disappointed in the end. Because, can I say, it's completely out of our hands, because there's only one person who can offer you real security. There's only one God who offers a future life without pain and suffering, renewed bodies, perfect relationships. And it's the God who's Lord of all. The God who doesn't want you to do anything. He just wants you to accept the gift that's given to him in Jesus. Jesus, the Lord of all. So the big question for today is, do you believe that? That you're actually secure in Jesus? You don't need to believe the lie of the world. You don't need to believe idols. God is the best number one priority. So much more than happiness or money or family could ever give you. And it's the same God who shows mercy to these sinful Judeans by not destroying them. The same God who showed mercy to us when he died on the cross. I'm going to pray and thank God for that now. Pray for all of us as we try to avoid worshipping idols. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you freely offer to us the gift of eternal life. Thank you that you offer real security. Protect us and our children and the children we know from believing the lie of the world for looking for false security. Father, we pray we'll learn from the Judeans' mistake and that we will accept your gift in Jesus. Amen.